Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and New York Times columnist Gail Collins is here now. Her unusual powers of observation have led her to notice, for example, that Democratic Senator Ben Nelson has been referring to his own party as they, or that Nelson is opposing student loan reform while he has a big, recently disgraced private student loan company in his state, or that John and Kate Plus Eight is a show on television. Okay, a lot of people noticed that, but not so much the student loan connection. Hi, Gail. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. How are you, Brian?
I'm okay. So what do you have against this poor senator from Nebraska that you keep putting him in the New York City Times?
Well, you know, he's the one of all of the kind of moderate to conservative-ish senators who's most frequently the one who, whatever it is the Obama administration wants to do, is saying, no, I don't think so. And he seems to be having way too much fun with it. I'm totally of the opinion that if you believe strongly morally that something your party's doing is wrong, you should stand up. But it shouldn't be like fun. It shouldn't be like your best moment of the day every day. You shouldn't be getting up saying, what thing can I announce to the world I'm going to be against? And the student loan thing is bad. I really had not focused on that until recently, but it's such a mess.
How bad?
You know, you were sending an entire generation of young people out into the world where they should be trying to think of how they can do good or have adventures or whatever, and all they're thinking about is how they can pay back these massive loans they've been saddled with.
And in that column from last week, you did as good a job as I've seen of making this opaque and confusing private student loan scheme, and in a way it really is a scheme, understandable. But explain it again, and for people who didn't read your piece, instead of the government lending more money directly to students, they do what again?
They pay the banks and the private loan companies to lend the money to students at lower rates. They pay them money to make sure that they'll still make a profit on this. Then as soon as the loans are actually made, they buy the loans back from the company. And they also support all of the company's efforts, and then they pay the company to go back out and do it all over again.
A chink on our tax dollar each time.
It's like a triple middleman thing. And what the Obama administration wants to do is simply say, okay, you guys can go out and process the loans, but we're going to do all the financial stuff. We're going to provide the money, and it's going to be our money. And basically what all these companies and banks love, of course, is the high-end financial part where they go out and find the money by getting it from the government, and then they find the borrower by going to the college, which has the little students all lined up ready to go, and that's their big, great contribution to the system, which they don't want to let go of.
What's this company in Ben Nelson's state of
Nebraska?
It's called
Nelnet, and you know, Nelnet and Sallie Mae and all the other big companies are going to keep, under the Obama plan, the back office jobs. They'll still be sort of doing all of the processing and paperwork stuff they've always done. So the little people would all keep their jobs. It's the big money guys who would no longer be compensated.
And they were disgraced in some way, right?
Nelnet was one of the ones that I'm sure a lot of people remember when Andrew Cuomo went into the student loan thing and discovered that in New York that students were being given iPods for signing up with certain companies. Some companies had their representatives actually sitting there in the student loan office working as a student loan officer, and their presents were being given to people who recommended student loans from the universities. And they basically signed an agreement not admitting any wrongdoing but promising they'd never do it again.
And President Obama is trying to do something about this?
Yeah, he wants to clean it up in what appears to me to be an incredibly rational way. The government already does make loans through the Department of Education to students, and they just want to make all the loans available through the Department of Education instead of giving students this wild menu of stuff which they never actually look at. Most of the students I've talked to have just said, well, the student loan officer gave me this thing and I signed it. And they very seldom have any idea of how much money they're actually going to be paying back over the long run. And I've also been in classrooms and asked students who had loans, you know, how much interest they're paying, and they never seem to know. They're 18 years old, for heaven's sake.
Mm. Right, and they think it's, well, when you're 18 years old, you think that everything is so far in the future that it's not going to matter by the time you get there.
So totally true. And, you know, the Congress was so proud of itself because they just passed that credit card reform bill. And one of the big reforms was to tell the credit card companies they couldn't be going out trying to sign up college students anymore because they're too young. However, it's perfectly fine to sign them up for $50,000, $100,000 in lifetime debt.
Although there may be some college students listening right now who are thinking, wait a minute, Congress cut off my access to credit?
Sorry.
Listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls for New York Times columnist Gail Collins. You can comment or ask her a question about anything she's been discussing here or anything you've been reading in her column, 212-433-WNYC. We don't have a lot of time, but we can take a few phone calls for Gail Collins, 212-433-9692. Gail, on another subject, I'm sure you heard about the horrible assassination of abortion provider Dr. George Tiller yesterday, which took place at his church in Wichita. And this comes just after the president's Notre Dame speech, which some bishops protested because of his stand on abortion rights, and the hold on his Office of Legal Counsel nominee, Dawn Johnson, because of her past pro-choice statements. And I thought the age of Obama was supposed to be post-culture wars.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. Basically, the new plan is that you don't talk about it very much. It just sort of happens on the sidelines. I don't hear much talking about it in Congress. It's just stuff that happens sort of on the edges. And Obama himself, I think, is very eager not to have abortion be a central issue in his first term, or at least the first year or two of his first term, while he's fighting about health care.
And yet here it comes. Dawn Johnson, his Office of Legal Counsel nominee, once said, forcing a woman to carry an unwanted pregnancy is disturbingly suggestive of involuntary servitude, which you point out in your column has some of her critics twisting her words to say all of pregnancy is like slavery.
Yes, poor Dawn's got several children of her own, I think, but that's the craziness also of the Senate. You know, it goes back again to the you just hold your head and say, oh, my Lord, poor President Obama, poor world, looking at those guys there and the amount of ability they have to do damage and to just make things impossible. And I find it's very frustrating and irritating.
There's a lot of that word twisting going around these days. I could think of a certain Latina who allegedly thinks all Latinas are better than all white people, if you know what I'm talking about.
You know, I don't think that one's going to have much traction. I mean, even when you have normally pretty crazy people like John Cornyn, who's the senator from Texas, saying, let's not go there anymore, let's not do that, it just does not feel to me like something that's gonna hang on in the long run.
And he's so conservative, John
Cornyn.
You know, the Homeland Security Department warned last month that the election of Obama was increasing the risk of terrorist attacks from right-wing radicals, including anti-abortionists. And the point was exactly that some of these radicals were being set off by the election of a black president, making pro-abortion rights appointments. I hope this assassination is the only example of this kind of terrorism that we'll see, but I wonder if it's a coincidence that it comes in the same week as the nomination of Sotomayor. I guess it's just not knowable.
That's probably not knowable. You know, after the election and right before the election, the part while we were celebrating the amazingness of the election of the first African-American president, we didn't talk much about the fact that if you went out into sort of more rural areas, more middle of the country, southern areas, that there was a chunk of people out there who thought this was the end of days and who were clearly not at all reconciled and clearly capable of being really loony if they put their minds to it. And it's just the sort of thing you never talked about because you hope it never happens.
Mel in Brooklyn has a student loan horror story. Mel, you're on WNYC with Gail Collins. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
My story is my daughter, who is in college in Massachusetts at the moment, based on our income, she was awarded a Stafford loan, a subsidized and non-subsidized Stafford loan. But the game that they play, when we declined taking these loans, she had to sign a waiver stating that she's not taking the loan in order to register. for school, and it's like a barrier put in front of you before you could even get registered for school.
Bell, thank you for warning people about that kind of thing as they may face it. Kit in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Kit.
Yeah, hi. I have a question for Gail. She said that the student loans were at lower rates, but I didn't understand. Lower rates than what? Because
the federal student loans are lower rates than the private ones, Gail? Is that it?
The federal student loans are low. The ones you get directly from the federal government are definitely at lower rates than the private ones.
I see. But there are even higher.
There are a billion kinds of private loans, and I've talked to many students who are paying loans now at 9%.
Yes.
That they were told was part of this program. They're wildly divergent, and they don't really shop around. They just get whatever they're given. Was that your experience?
Yeah. My son has just applied to law school. He's handling most of this. And he did get the two Stafford loans, but they're at 6.8%, which is higher than a mortgage, with my understanding. And then he was offered private loans, which were 8.6%. And also the interest starts immediately, that starts ticking away while they're in school, except for the one Stafford loan.
These people are getting their money from the federal government at 3%. It's not like they're out there in the marketplace wildly, searching around.
Thank you, Kit. Norma in Somerville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Norma.
Hi. Thank you for accepting my call. Gail, I read your article and I thought it was just great. My daughter is starting law school in the fall, and she was accepted into several schools here in the Northeast area. And had she accepted to go into one of them, she would have been saddled with over $100,000 in student loans. And as a result, she's decided to go out to Madison, Wisconsin, which is a lovely town. And they're giving her such a great package that her tuition and her living expenses will only be about $19,000, which is a great deal when you compare when you compare what she would have been paying if she had gone to school here in the Northeast Coast. My question, though, Gail, is what in actuality, how are the students going to benefit from the changes that are being proposed by the Obama administration?
They should be able to get cheaper loans, and they should be able to get simpler loans so that they can actually figure out when they're applying for them how much they're going to be paying. And the government wants to use the money that they save in this process to massively increase the number of Pell Grants so that any kid from a family making, I think it's under $50,000 a year, could basically get their college paid for, would not have to take out loans.
But I presume that the banks are mobilizing to fight these changes. That was some article in the Times today about how as soon as the economy was trashed by credit default swaps in the fall, the banks mobilized their lobbyists to fight any new regulations of credit default swaps.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure the same thing, I don't know why I find it funny, but I'm sure the same thing is going on here.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different fights about it. Sallie Mae, which is one of the very biggest of the lenders, student loan lenders, is leading a charge to have a sort of a reform plan. They say now that they agree with the president that it's all messed up. But the reform plan is basically that they'd get a smaller cut than they got before, but the same kind of very complicated system would continue.
It's called playing defense for the moment. So let's finish by coming full circle. My guest, New York Times columnist Gail Collins, we started with Democratic Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska taking perverse pleasure in referring to his own party as they. And the context was that was after Arlen Specter joined the party last month. So he warned that just because they have a 60-vote majority, that doesn't mean they have 60 votes, they being we, in his case, his Democratic Party. So my last question to you is, do you know Arlen Specter's position on Sotomayor? He was so famous for beating up Anita Hill in the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings in 1991, and he voted for for both Bush nominees, Alito and Roberts. But now, voila, he's a Democrat. But your Democrat friend, Ben Nelson, says just because you have 60 senators doesn't mean you have 60 votes. Do they have Arlen Specter?
I would be willing to bet they do on this one. I don't know. I haven't heard that he's made, most of the senators haven't made, you know, sweeping statements about it. But I would be willing to bet there's a real inclination to support your party's nominee, whatever, even if you keep changing parties back and forth. And in fact, to support any president's nominee for the Supreme Court.
Your party, who you call they. In the
yeah,
case.
Whatever they are.
Gail Collins, New York Times columnist. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Great to see you. Bye-bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and Douglas Rushkoff up next. Stay with us.